Name it and claim it. That phrase means, well, just ask God for something and he must give it to you. You want a Lamborghini? Just ask God for it. He has to give it to you. You want a big mansion? Just speak it out loud to God. You'll get it. You want to triple your income next year? Name it and then claim it. Now, obviously, there are some big problems with this so-called prosperity gospel. First of all, it's extremely materialistic. And God never promises us great wealth or big homes or fancy cars. Also, it glorifies the self. But when it comes to self-glorification, Jesus himself said the opposite. Jesus said, "If anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." And also, what's wrong with this name it and claim it stuff is that it does not say, "Thy will be done, O God." No, it says to God, "My will be done." So prayer is not name it and claim it. But yet, the right names have a necessary place in your prayer life. God wants you to use his name when you pray. But when you pray, God also wants you to use your name. No, not the name you have right now, but a name that you will give yourself based on the words of our text. And so today's text from Genesis tells us, in his name, pray by your name. Now, back in Bible times, names meant a lot more than they do today, and Jacob is a prime example. Genesis 25 tells us, "When it was time for Rebekah to give birth, there were twins in her womb. The first son came out. They named him Esau. After that, his brother came out with his hand grabbing Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob." Now, the name Jacob is a play on words. It's a pun in Hebrew, because the Hebrew word for heel is akav. The name Jacob in Hebrew is Yaakov. So Yaakov, Jacob, means he heals, not like he cures somebody, but he heels somebody. He grabs somebody's heel. That's what his name meant. Literally, he grabs the heel. But later, Jacob gave himself a nickname that wasn't so complimentary, and he got this nickname because of his deception. He deceived his brother Esau two times. First, he deceived his brother Esau, tricked him into giving him the birthright, as Esau was the firstborn. Jacob was the secondborn. Esau had the birthright. Jacob wanted it, so Jacob made Esau sell his birthright to him for a bowl of stew. Later on, Jacob deceived his father, Isaac, in order to pretend to be Esau and then have his father, Isaac, his blind old father, Isaac, give Esau's blessing to Jacob. So Jacob the heel grabber was then referred to as Jacob the deceiver. And after Jacob's second deception, Esau wanted to kill him. And so Jacob hightailed it out of there. He ran 500 miles to his uncle Laban's place, and he stayed with Laban for 20 years. And during that time, he married two of Laban's daughters and had 12 children, 11 sons and a daughter. Then after those 20 years were over, Jacob decided to go back home. But Esau, his brother, was still living there, and Jacob was afraid that Esau would attack him and his children and his family and all of his possessions. So Jacob takes his family, all his stuff, and he puts it into two groups. And he figures that if Esau attacks one group, then the other group can run away, and then he'll still have at least half his family and half his possessions. Now, this is the backdrop. This is the setting to the unusual events and the unusual names in our text. Our text says, "Jacob was left alone, and he wrestled with a man until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not defeat Jacob, the man touched the socket of Jacob's thigh, and the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated as he wrestled. The man said, "Let me go, it's daybreak." Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Then the man said, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have fought with God and with men, and you have won." Jacob asked, "Please tell me your name." The man said, "Why do you ask my name?" Then the man blessed Jacob. Jacob named the place Peniel, because he said, "I have seen God face to face, and my life has been spared." So Jacob physically wrestled with not just an ordinary man, but he wrestled with God in human form. And we know it was God because of those two names that are mentioned. First of all, God calls Jacob Israel. Israel, which literally means, again, he wrestles God, or he fights God. And then Jacob realizes that, so Jacob calls the place Peniel. El is the Hebrew word for God. Peniel literally means the face of God. Now these two names, Israel and Peniel, teach us how to pray. When we pray, we spiritually wrestle with God. We do not physically wrestle with God like Abraham did, but when we pray, there still must be physical symptoms. You know, your hands are clenched, your face is clenched, maybe your guts are in turmoil, your heart might be pounding, your legs and your arms might be wobbling. Now, this does not mean that every time we pray in church together that you're writhing in pain. No, I hope not. But yet, by the same token, if you pray and you feel nothing, is that really prayer? Are you just mindlessly going through the motions? Well, if so, to that superficial, mindless activity, the book of James says this: pray in faith without doubting, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So pray with faith. Pray without doubting. Pray with intensity. Pray fervently. Pray with all humility. And when you pray, give yourself a new name. Yes, you have permission to call yourself what God called Jacob. When you pray, call yourself Israel. He or she wrestles God. Now, allow an illustration to show the power and the confidence of this name change, of you calling yourself in prayer Israel. You see, the name Terry Jean Bollea does not scare anyone. But his stage name, Hulk Hogan, does. Randy Mario Poffo sounds like a guy who makes pizza. But Macho Man Randy Savage sounds like a guy who could toss you out of the wrestling ring. James Janus is kind of a bland, regular, everyday name. But Jesse the Body Ventura, well, that's a name for a professional wrestler. Now, of course, when you wrestle with God, when you struggle with God in prayer, you don't have to give yourself a silly pro wrestling stage name. You don't have to do that because you already have a much better name. Israel. He wrestles with God. And yes, prayer is wrestling. Prayer is wrestling Peniel, face to face with God. It's a struggle. It's a spiritual wrestling match. Again, our text says, Jacob named the place Peniel because he says, "I have seen God face to face, and my life has been spared." Jacob knew that God could have easily overpowered him and even killed him. And that amazed Jacob. He had wrestled with God face to face. And Jacob actually won. That's what God said. You wrestled with God and with man, and you won. Of course, actually, God let Jacob win. It's kind of like when dad wrestles his toddler, and he lets the toddler pin him. He lets the toddler win the wrestling match. Well, you do the same. When you pray, make your prayers in the name of God. Make your prayers paniel, face to face with God. That is, realize God is not far away from you when you pray. God is not some distant bureaucrat in a far-off city. He has no name. He's just working through a pile of other requests. It'll be 3, 4, 5 weeks before he gets to your requests because he has so much work to do. No, God's not like that at all. When you pray, God is as close to you as he was to Jacob when they wrestled that night. When you pray, God hears your prayers in real time, just as Jacob and God held that face-to-face conversation all those centuries ago. Now, of course, again, realize you do not have the same outward physical wrestling with God that Jacob had that night. But also remember that it only happened once for Jacob. All the other times Jacob prayed in his life, it was just like you and I pray. So pray like Jacob, though. Pray like he learned to pray that one night. Of course, that brings us to the question, well, what does a wrestling face-to-face prayer with God sound like? Well, it can sound like a lot of things, but maybe it could sound something like this. Lord God, I have worries. I have anxiety. I have the fear that some tragedy is going to strike me or strike my loved ones. So God, you promised to bless me. Keep your promises to me, O Lord. Watch over me, protect me. Keep my life safe. Keep my loved ones safe. Yes, Father, bless me. But also bless me. Bless me with the forgiveness of all of my sins. Wash me clean in the blood of Jesus Christ, because without Jesus, my fate is only death and damnation. But with Jesus, O God, I see you face to face. In Jesus, your fullness dwells in a human body just like mine. And because Jesus took on my human flesh, Jesus knows my troubles. Jesus knows my anxiety. Jesus knows my fears. And Jesus loves me. Jesus lived for me. Jesus died for me. Jesus rose from the grave for me. Jesus lives and rules over all creation for my benefit. So, Lord, that's why I am bold. That's why I will wrestle God Almighty. Lord, I am confident because of Jesus. But I ask you, Lord, make me like Jesus. Fill me with his love and his humility and his service. And Lord God, make me like Jesus also when I pray, so that I always pray, thy will be done. Yes, Lord, may I always wrestle you face to face and always pray, thy will be done. Amen.